our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." and he worshipped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Good morning. Here we are on the fourth Sunday of Lent, or in Lent. Today I'm going to preach a sermon that was written by the dean of the cathedral that I was the canon at. She preached it on this Sunday in 2023. Her name is Shay Craig. I do this for two reasons. One, I asked her for a copy of this sermon after I heard it because it impressed me. And two, she was consecrated Bishop of North Dakota yesterday, so I do this in honor of her also. I have changed the place names, but that's it. In here, otherwise it's all her. One of my all-time favorite movies is Hidden Figures. It is set in the very early days of the space program. The main characters are an aeronautical engineer named Mary Jackson, a pioneering computer programmer named Dorothy Vaughan, and a math genius named Katherine Goebel Johnson. Now, the math that was required to put a vehicle and a man into space and bring them down again safely required resourcefulness, dedication, imagination, and courage. And it didn't go well at first. If you're looking to be demoralized, there are dozens of videos of rocket launches that failed in those early days. And there's a scene in the movie where Ms. Johnson's boss, the director of the Space Task Group, is frustrated with the conservative kind of plodding work being done by his group. He says to Johnson, what I'm asking you to do, what I'm asking all the math geniuses in that room to do, is to look beyond the numbers, look around them, look through them, and to do math that hasn't ever been done before, because without that, we are not flying into space, we are not circling the Earth, and we certainly are not touching the moon. And in my mind, we are already there. Then he turns to her and says, Are you? And she responds, Yes, sir. His question is how, and her answer is yes. In our Bible reading this morning, the word how appears at least seven times, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading. The disciples want to understand how this man was born blind. When Jesus heals the blind man, his neighbors ask, "How were your eyes opened?" The Pharisees, seeing a person violate the law of the Sabbath, ask, "How can a sinner perform a miracle?" Even in our Old Testament reading, Saul asks of Samuel, "How can I go?" And then, "How can this shepherd boy be the chosen king?" Interesting to note that the only time Jesus answers when his disciples ask how, he responds not by saying, "Here is how," but by saying, "Yes." We must work the works of him who sent me. That's not, "How do we get to the moon?" That's, "In my mind, I'm already there." God's imagination, like everything about God, is unlimited and unknowable. The dreams that God has for this world are enormous. It's more than we can ever conceive of. Like the characters in our readings this morning, our first inclination is to put our heads in our hands and say, "How are we supposed to do that?" But sometimes that is just not a faithful answer. Sometimes asking how is effectively tapping the brakes. It suggests an implied arrogance. It can only be done if I can conceive of it. It suggests an unfaithful self-reliance. It points towards a very human response of resistance to the unknown. In his book, Stewardship, Peter Block describes it this way. The question how is a defense against the action. It is a leap past the question of purpose, past the question of intentions, and past the drama of responsibility. The question how, more than any other question, is an indirect expression of our doubts. We inevitably have doubts, but in order to achieve greatly, we have to have more faith. In the stories of these texts this morning, God is not looking for the most competent or charismatic people. God is not looking for the wealthiest or the best connected. He is looking for the most faithful. David is not the strongest of leaders. He does not have the most sterling qualities or a proven track record of innovation and success. God calls David because he sees in him a heart that will look to God for direction, protection, and abundance. The man who was blind from birth did not take the initiative and cry out to Jesus to heal him. There is no record of his having led a life of committed prayer to God. But once healed by Jesus, he speaks the simple truth that what could not be done without God, indeed what could not have been conceived without God's intervention, had come to pass. Neither David nor the man born blind stopped to ask God how these unlikely circumstances have come about. They are certain of God's motives. They are committed to God's purposes. They take a firm stand on the foundation of their faith in God, and they respond to the how questions in their lives with a solid yes. When we think about it, all heroism emerges from answering how with yes. In the Harry Potter books, a very young child is tasked with confronting and overcoming forces of evil that threaten the whole world. He pursues this end for 6 long years, and even at the end of the series, he doesn't really know how. He just keeps answering yes. The bombing raid on Tokyo during the Second World War was pivotal both in demonstrating that Allied forces could attack the Japanese islands and forcing the Japanese Navy to make critical strategic mistakes. The raiding aircraft took off in the rain and too far out to be able to make a return trip. James Doolittle, who led that attack, was just a little notorious for answering how with yes. Malala Yousafzai defied Taliban prohibitions against women's education. At 9 years of age, there was an attempt on her life. She's the youngest recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, not because she let herself be stopped by Hal. We are here in this time, in this place, for a purpose. God has collected us, the Christ the King family, and the Christ the King adjacent families. We are not gathered by chance. We are gathered by God for a reason. There are people in this community who are unhoused. There are people in this community who are food insecure. There are people who need medical care, who need treatment for addiction disease, who need dental care or vaccinations. And there are a lot of people in this community who just need to be reminded that they have a basic human dignity. Humble is a city with myriad problems to be solved, and that's just Humble. Then there is the county and the state and the country and the world. It is overwhelming. Even if God did call us together for a purpose, how can we possibly make a dent in all that needs our attention in this town? Yes. Even in my own ears, it sounds like an impractical and naive response. How do we overcome the challenges of our lives by answering yes? But the other option is to leave things as they are, to not call a King David, to not heal the man blind from birth. Is it more practical to not try to solve the problems of our community because we cannot at this time with these tools figure out how? God is always, always faithful to us. God is always working this world toward a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God does this because he loves us. And in our hearts, our guts, we know the response to that love and that faith and those efforts is to love God in return, to have faith in God even when we don't know how, and to answer when God calls us with a resounding yes. Remember I said earlier that the only time Jesus answers the question how, he responds by saying, we must work the works of him who sent me. That's not how, that's yes. I'm going to try not to spoil the movie for you, but at the end of Hidden Figures, Katherine Goble Johnson is staring at a mathematical problem on a chalkboard that describes the fact that they do not know how to get the astronauts all the way around the world and land them safely home. And she realizes that it is not new math that is needed, but very, very old math. She uses ancient Euclidean geometry to calculate orbital trajectory. And when she is asked how she arrived at her conclusions, she says, I looked past the numbers and through them. In her mind, she was already on the moon. All these stories, the calling of David, the healing of the blind man, Katherine Goble Johnson, teach us to be bold in responding to the challenges in our city, and they teach us to be faithful in answering God's call, and ultimately to answer the how with a resounding yes, because we must work the works of him who sent us. Amen.